Welcome to Let's Grow. This is a personal development podcast, and I'm your host, Jeremy A. Taylor, but you can call me JT. Whether it's a short message from yours truly or an interview with a special guest, this is your place for weekly encouragement to keep going and growing. My goal here is simple, to leave you better than I found you. And I know your time is valuable, so let's dive right in.
What is up, ladies and gentlemen? This is JT, and you are listening to and watching, actually. I got to remind myself that now we're putting some video content out with the podcast. So you're either watching or listening to, or I guess if you're watching, then you're listening as well. Either way, welcome back to the Let's Grow podcast. This is episode 17. I'm hanging out with my dear friend, Mayor Alan Keck. I just refer to him as Mr. Mayor. That's how we get down, right? And we're talking today about leading through adversity. Of course, you're going to get to know a little bit more about Mayor Keck. You're going to get to know a little bit more about the vision that he has for Somerset, Kentucky, the spirit of Southern Kentucky, mind you. But we're going to talk a little bit about taking care of ourselves, leading through adversity, what it looks like to stay on the up and up through hardship and difficult times. And just keeping the main thing, and that's putting people first. So I'm absolutely delighted about this. As always, I want to make sure I preface this. This is your weekly stop for encouragement, and our goal is to do nothing more and nothing less than this, to leave you better than we found you. And I know that you're going to get some value from that today. So Mr. Alan Keck, Mayor Alan Keck, thanks so much for hanging out with me today.
Hey, thanks for having me, man. I like getting to spend 30 minutes with you. You know, it's a treat. I always leave feeling better. After we get to hang out and spend some time together, whether it's breaking bread, having a cup of coffee, or just getting to, you know, chew the fat a little bit and talk some.
Yes, sir. And it's a great day for a podcast. It's a rainy day outside, a little yucky, a little nasty. And I don't know about you or anyone else, but I'm looking forward to when the humidity tapers off a little bit. We have some cooler temps. So it's a great day to be inside, actually.
Absolutely. Actually, when I walked in the building this morning, Misty at the front, she said, well, is it supposed to rain all day? And I said, you know, I don't know. It's not raining in my head. And she sort of laughed, but I think she appreciated that perspective is important, right? And so, you know, rain's not going to ruin our day. We know that.
I heard that. I once heard someone say that you should and you can carry your own weather with you. So I like that. That's a great approach. So let's dive right in, Mayor Keck. Tell us a little bit about yourself. And your career prior to becoming mayor of Somerset, and a little bit about who you are, where you come from, and what you stand for.
Well, I'll try to be as brief as I can while touching on a lot of what, you know, makes me who I am. First thing I'd say is, you know, I'm a proud Christian. You know, Lord Jesus Christ saved my life. And you know, that's first. Secondly, I'm an incredibly proud husband and father. And so, you know, my faith and my family is the most important thing in my life. And, you know, hopefully the way I live my life, the way I lead and serve in this community will glorify the Lord and also make my family proud. But, you know, professionally, I like to think of myself as businessman first and public servant second, not politician. You won't hear me say that a whole lot. Now, that is a little bit in the nature of the beast, I suppose. But, you know, my first passion was business. I love the modern economy and finding ways to make money as a tool to help people, whether that's creating employment, creating capital, moving capital, but also as a tool to help people both in a capitalistic society, but in the form of philanthropy. You know, there are so many things that we can do with those resources, with those tools. And so I love business. I love the relationships that you create in business. And that is kind of synergistic to where we are now as mayor, because, you know, so much of what we're doing in the city is built off of those relationships. And so, you know, my business before I got elected was twofold. I ran an industrial recycling company as a company called Somerset Recycling that my father founded back in the 80s. And I was fortunate enough to be a sales guy in that company for many years and then worked my way up into management. And the 4 years preceding my term here, I was president of that company. And then I'm also, and I don't talk about this a lot, but a certified sports agent. And so I represent professional baseball players and help those young men chase their dreams. And that's been really a highlight in my professional career, is watching some of those folks get drafted, chase that journey and that dream, and then make it to the big leagues. So that's a lot of fun. And then back in the fall of 2018, you know, I accomplished one of my dreams in life, which is to get to serve and lead my hometown. I've had that vision for a long time for Somerset and for Kentucky, and here we are. So now I'm kind of getting to live those dreams out.
Thank you for sharing that, Mayor Keck. And, you know, I think so often back to when you and I first met, it was a small downtown event. It was entitled Taste of Somerset, where local vendors shared their good eats and just created a community space and atmosphere for family to come hang out and have some fun and sample, you know, good food. And I'll never forget that initial conversation that we had, and some of the questions that, you know, that were engaging for both of us. And that segued into a coffee meeting, and where we talked about leadership, we talked about books, and you shared your vision for Somerset pending, you know, if you got elected at that point in time.
Right.
And now to see you grow in the capacity that you have, to see the changes that have been that are happening in Somerset since your time as mayor there, you know, here in the city, it's been cool to see. It's been cool to be a part of. And I just want to say, you know, before we head into any other questions, thank you so much for the what I like to call the four H's: your heart, your humility, your hard work, and the honor that you serve with. Because it has made a difference. I see it, and I've really enjoyed the friendship that we built along the way. So thank you for that.
Well, I appreciate you sharing that, and I too won't forget that day. When we finished, I told Tiffany, I said, man, that guy asked some of the best questions and actually cared about the answers. I was equally impressed, if not more, and I knew then you'd be accomplishing a ton, and it's been fun for me to watch your journey as well.
Thank you, sir. Let's talk leadership. Of course, this podcast is entitled Let's Grow. You know enough about me to know that that's kind of one of my mantras and my charge and my battle cry, is that no matter what you're going through, you can grow through it. And we should endeavor to grow until the day that the good Lord calls us home. And so as a leader, you know, as you know, in the position that you're in, as a father, as a husband, what does leadership mean to you?
You know, it's a fantastic question. And there's been not dozens, but hundreds or thousands of books on the subject, lots of different philosophies. Of course, I would point to a couple quick things on leadership. First thing is the best leaders are servants first. They understand that it's okay to follow others. And at times, those among us that are in leadership positions need reminded of that, that they are, in fact, needing to serve others and also at times follow others. So that's the first thing. And the second thing I would say is, you know, the Bible actually is an incredible book on leadership. You mentioned growing through tough times. You know, one of my favorite scriptures out of the book of James: consider it pure joy whenever you face trials and tribulations of all kinds. And because of that, the building of your faith will produce perseverance. And I think for leaders, you know, we've got to have a long game and a view way into the future. And the last thing I'll say sort of on the subject, maybe my favorite philosophy on leadership comes from Stephen Covey. And the two principles out of those seven habits that I think about so often is putting first things first, which in society today, you know, maybe we're okay at, but we forget that you got to begin with the end in mind. You got to know where you're going. And, you know, balancing those two things is often a tightrope, but I think we've managed to do it well here in Somerset.
That's good stuff. And you know, when I think about leadership and the influence that we all have in our spaces, I try to challenge people a lot to remember that no matter where you're at, you can lead. No matter where you're at, no matter what position you're in, no matter where you're at on the, you know, on the totem pole of whose title may mean more in society, no matter how new you are to the game, no matter what your skill set is, everyone has the ability to lead. And here's why: because everyone has influence. And I think leadership often begins when people begin to recognize that I can be intentional with the influence that I have and using it to better the lives of the people around me. And that's what I've seen happen in the time that you've been mayor, and especially with having kind of a behind the scenes look with the executive staff, which I call the third floor gangsters, by the way. And and in the department heads, you know, folks who are literally helping make decisions, who are grinding it out, who are you know, involved in the day-to-day operations of bringing this vision of the spirit of Southern Kentucky to life. You know, I see how they've responded to you know, your concept and your idea of leadership. I see how they are accepting the call to grow as leaders themselves. And I'm telling you, it's been fun to be a part of. And what have you enjoyed most about working with the people that you get to work with?
Well, I was going to say, it's a great segue, and I appreciate you bringing up my team. I'm incredibly blessed. There's not a mayor in Kentucky, and you can go to Lexington, Bowling Green, Louisville, and I'm still going to say that has the team around them that I do. You know, there are so many folks that are working with me. I don't use the term for me, but with me, that made a choice to either make a lateral move from another you know, governmental agency or private sector agency because they believed in the team and the vision, or many have taken pay cuts to be a part of what we're doing. And so, you know, I'm fortunate to have an incredible team. And, you know, one other thing you mentioned that I want to touch on, you mentioned influence and the ability to positively influence folks. You know, I talk a lot about that we have influence, even if we don't realize it, good or bad. And, you know, that's something that I think we need to be cognizant of day in, day out, is we are influencing those around us either way. And so, to your point, you know, why not be intentional and ensure that influence is positive and leave them feeling better than when you first got there, when you first met. And, you know, I love the job. I've shared many times, one of the most pleasant surprises was the quality of the staff that we had. And, you know, that's not a dig at anybody who was here prior, but, you know, there were some preconceived notions. And what they were looking for, in many ways, was a leader who would allow them to do their jobs, who would believe in them, encourage and empower. And, you know, we've tried to do a lot of that, and I think it's been successful.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, what have you done, Mayor Keck? What have you done in the midst of this crazy year that we have found ourselves in? You know, people have used the term unprecedented times. I often just like to say weird times. Like, it's been crazy. And a prime example of being weird, I found myself a couple months into this whole pandemic thing and in the stay-at-home order. And you know that a lot about my day-to-day operations and working from home and kind of entrepreneur / stay-at-home dad, and with my son Miles, I put him down for a nap in the afternoon, and I usually grind out some work in that space. And a couple months into this whole pandemic deal, I laid him down and I was like, man, I'm just mentally, emotionally exhausted. I'm not going to do any work today. So I hit the couch, turned on the tube, went to ESPN, found myself at 2 o'clock in the afternoon watching cornhole. And I was like, what's going on here? And so that's just one way life has been impacted with, you know, just the day-to-day consistencies and routines and the economy and school and health, you know, so much is going on. So how have you stayed positive and on the up and up and tried to lead your team during this time?
Well, you know, the first thing that I think it's important to highlight is anytime there's crisis or a challenge, there's equal opportunity. And I think that we have found a way in Somerset to try to focus on the opportunity to plug holes, the opportunity to get better, to ensure that we still provide services that people have come to expect in the time of the pandemic. You know, there's a lot of cities who I think sort of hunkered down and just fingers crossed until they get through it, right? Well, we wanted to take a more proactive approach instead of reactive. We launched the Healthy Somerset Initiative in the middle of the pandemic, encouraging folks to not just get better physically, but also emotionally or mentally, and then spiritually. I'm never going to shy away from talking about mental health and spiritual health, not just when you're in the valley, right, but when things are okay. And I think that's how you establish some better baselines, that when you are struggling, you'll bounce back a lot quicker. We launched the See My Set Live series in the middle of the pandemic, trying to promote and highlight local businesses and artists and creators. And so, you know, that's just a couple things that we did. And then, again, attitude. I think that we've been positive throughout this. We've tried to be encouraging throughout it. And, you know, we're gonna put our best foot forward every day. And, you know, the Debbie Downer approach doesn't belong, at least in this administration. And I think that we've seen a lot of fruit in a positive way, you know, even a couple financial highlights, JT, which people would probably be shocked by, since, you know, 3 months of our fiscal year were almost wiped away because of Corona. You know, our property tax revenues were up, our occupational tax revenues were up, ABC money, fire premium tax, bank franchise tax, all those numbers were up without any rate increases. And so what that tells you is we're growing. We've got more people spending money, more people moving here, more people investing here than ever before. So not just up year over year, but all time highs. And, you know, those are things I'm proud of.
Totally. You know, and I appreciate you, you know, you talking about that approach to attitude and, you know, just the expectation that you have for yourself, for your family, for your team, for the community, and doing the best that you can to model that. Because at the end of the day, let's call it what it is. And of course, I made light of the pandemic, just having some fun with a little change there that, you know, I noticed and something I share in a lot of talks and stories. But the truth of the matter is that this has been unbelievably challenging and difficult for a lot of people. Some more so than others, whether it be the day-to-day routine, whether it be the economic situation that they're in and the struggling financially, even people being impacted by the virus, you know, health-wise or knowing other people that have. But the truth of the matter is that we always have the choice of what we can focus on. We always have the choice of the attitude, the energy, and the effort that we bring to the space. And I appreciate you sharing that. And something else I wanted to point out is I remember a couple months back, I just finished a run in the morning downtown, and I see this SUV whipping around the fountain, and you stop, you roll the window down, and you holler at me real quick, and I noticed that you had on a shirt that said something similar to this, and I was like, man, I wonder where he got that from. But, you know, I just wanted to say publicly, I appreciate you getting up, doing the hard work to take care of yourself physically, and modeling that. You know, if you're going to launch these types of initiatives, we're not perfect, but it's about progress over perfection. And so thank you for leading the way on that as well.
No, absolutely. You know, I love your encourage wear. I think it's a small message from time to time that, you know, we do need to focus on the journey. So often we focus on just the destination, and then you get there and there's always a then what. Right. You know, then you start a new journey. And so if we'll start to enjoy that journey and embrace it for what it is, of course, Nick Saban, probably the best example I can think of always talking about the process and the journey year over year over year. And I don't always get that right. You know, I've had seasons where that's been a struggle. You know, we had a while where gyms were closed, but it's been fun to get back in there and start throwing around a little weight. And not as strong as I once was, but I'm getting there again.
Well, I do know this. Your brother makes us all feel bad about life with what he posts on Facebook every
That's
day about all the weight he's throwing around. So he's throwing enough around for all of us anyway.
The tank. That's what we call it. The tank.
Well, share with us, if you don't mind, what has been the most challenging aspect of being in public office and leading at a time like this? What's been the most challenging thing for you, Mayor Kett?
Well, I mentioned earlier, you know, the faith and family component of my life, which is so important. And I would say that, you know, as mayor in general, one challenge is just always juggling that work-life balance. It's something that, you know, it's not unique to me, you know, as mayor, but it might be a little bit more taxing in some ways because the amount of public events, the amount of after-hours events, and ensuring that I'm not compromising my most important job, which, again, is a husband and a father. You know, my girls need that quality time. They need that daddy time. And so I always want to make sure that that happens. I've said that if you can't lead your home, you don't deserve the right or the opportunity to lead anybody else. And I, you know, I want to get that one right. And it's, again, it's not always perfect, but I make that effort. I am intentional about it. It's specific to this season of life that we're in. You mentioned unprecedented times, weird times. Both are true. The balance between, you know, leading aggressively, being bold and courageous, but still being sensitive to the needs of others. Everybody doesn't think the same way. Everybody doesn't have the same situation where, you know, Tiffany and I are blessed with good health. Our kids are blessed with good health. We don't have any in-laws that live with us or any at-risk folks that are around us often. And so it's easy for us to just charge forward. And, you know, I heard it said like this once that they were treating the virus very seriously, but they weren't taking it very seriously. And I say that kind of as you made the jest about watching cornhole. You know, yesterday I got stuck watching the pole vaulting competition. I thought, man, what is the world coming to? Like, I'm locked on pole vaulting. And so I think if we can't have some fun as we're trying to get through this struggle, then the struggle gets worse. And, you know, we've seen, I'm probably changing gears too far, but we're heading into a little bit of an environment where I think people are getting more and more divisive. And a little bit of levity is healthy. And as much as I want to be respectful of others and how they're taking it, I think, you know, we deserve that same right. You know, they can show us the same respect as we're moving forward and trying to charge ahead.
I agree totally. And in humor is certainly, you know, in this conversation that we're having about leading through adversity, folks watching, folks listening, like, I don't know if people really understand just how powerful of a play that is of, you know, continuing to do the best you can to stay excited, you know, in the difficult times, focusing on what you're grateful for, focusing on what you can do versus what you can't do, and choosing to find humor in it. Because at the end of the day, listen, life happens to us all. We're not here to just go to work, collect a paycheck, pay bills, pay taxes, with a sour face, and then die one day. Like, God has given us this opportunity to enjoy this experience, to enjoy this community, and to make a positive difference. And so just want to encourage you all to remember that, to find some humor in life and have a good time. So let me ask you this, switching gears for just a second. If you weren't mayor of Somerset, I know you're a businessman, you shared that with us. I know a few things that you do, but if you weren't mayor of Somerset right now, what are some things that you would like to do, or what do you think you'd find yourself doing?
Yeah, you know, I don't normally do a lot of hypotheticals, but I don't mind this one. I appreciate this one. I think had I never run, I'd still be running the recycling company, but I'll take a little, maybe a different approach. You know, let's say I wasn't in public service, what would I transition back to? And I think the answer to that, I would spend a lot of time in the sports business. You know, I've never been able to really focus 100% of my time and effort into that space. And when I have focused in it, we've had some, you know, real success, and it's been a lot of fun. As I mentioned, watching those young men chase their dreams. Back in 2014, I was blessed to become one of the youngest certified agents in baseball, and I think it'd kind of be fun to tackle that full time someday. But right now, we're going to keep focusing. I do plan to run for mayor again in 2022. So, you know, y'all are stuck with me for a little bit.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Well, what advice would you offer someone who maybe is in a position where they have dreams and aspirations of maybe being in public office one day? What advice would you offer a young person in that area?
I love that question, and I appreciate you asking it. You know, that's something that is so personal to my own life, because I've had passion for public service. I said my first love was business, and that's true. It was the first one I was exposed to. You know, my father started showing me profit loss statements when I was a kid, like 10, 11 years old. And, you know, my mom thought that was a little early, but he's like, look, we're going to go ahead and train him. But at the age of 14, 15, I started feeling that tug and that call to public service. And it was very real for me. And it's something I've thought about without exaggeration weekly since then. And really probably since my early 20s daily about, you know, how can I appropriately serve? How can I leverage my gifts and abilities that I have, which in some ways are narrow. You know, a lot of men are good at a lot of stuff. I'm not one of those. You know, I'm not handy. I can't fix things. I'm not real adept at hunting and fishing and some of that stuff. But the skill set that I do have, I feel like I've been blessed in. And so I've thought a lot about it. And that's a long way to get to the answer, which is this, is first of all, you should never have to be talked into running for something. You know, if you're looking at running for city council or mayor or county judge or governor or whatever it is, you should be committed to that. You know, you should never have to be encouraged so much to go do it. You know, follow whatever you're passionate about. And the other thing I would say is there's no job that is too small. You alluded to titles earlier, and, you know, we do put a lot of emphasis on titles in America and in our communities. But if you want to run for school board, you know, make a difference at school board. If you want to run for city council or magistrate or whatever it may be, follow your heart, because I think that if you do that, you're going to be much more likely to stay service minded. It'll be about the people that you serve and not yourself. And then the last thing I would say is go into it with the mindset that you're not going to be there for a long time. That will help you make the right decisions and make decisions or on what's best for the folks that elected you, and not just in a way to keep you in office for a long time. And if you'll stick to that, then I think we could transform communities.
That's powerful stuff, Mayor. I appreciate you sharing that. Who would you say, as we work to close down here, a couple more questions, who would you say has served as a source of inspiration and encouragement for you throughout your life?
Oh, goodness. You know, this is going to be cliche, but it's so true in my own life. You know, my father had incredible, incredible perseverance. You know, he struggled early as a businessman. As an employee, he was highly successful, but he launched his own business, and it was really hard. And I don't know anyone else, to be candid, that had his level of determination. You know, a lot of people would have packed it in, gone back to work, made a nice living, and moved on. And then, you know, so I grew up in a home. My mom and dad divorced when I was 5. And so it's a little unique, but I was blessed. I never really focused on the fact that I didn't have a nuclear family. I just was grateful to have a mom and dad who I was still close with and loved me. But, you know, my mom was such a selfless mother. She ended up remarrying. I had stepbrothers. And so there were 7 of us in the house. And, you know, now as a parent, and I've got 3, and I think about, like, laundry and cooking. My mom was a machine, man, and she never complained. I mean, you know, we're bringing sweaty football stuff home and basketball stuff, and, you know, it just magically appeared clean the next day. And so, like, her unconditional love and support has just been, you know, over the moon. And, in fact, I always said, if I told mom I was going to build a rocket ship and to go to the moon, she'd be like, okay, honey, let it rip, you know. You know, I told her I was going to run for mayor at 28, 29. She's like, I'm sure you'll do well, honey. And so, you know, that support I've never doubted anything because they always gave me belief that I could accomplish stuff. And I'm just so grateful for that.
And I want to backtrack on something that you said there at the beginning when you said this may sound cliche. And I want to challenge that for many, it may sound cliche, but the truth of the matter is, Mayor Keck, is that's the way it should be. If more people in our society were able to say, I look up to my mother, I look up to my father, I love them, I appreciate them, I admire them, they have been my greatest source of inspiration and encouragement. If more people were able to say that, I would venture to say, call me crazy, that we would be in a better place than we are today. And we would have people who are healthier, people who are happier, people who are pursuing those passions and they feel confident. You said, I've never really lacked for anything. I've really never lacked for confidence and believing that I could go chase something because they instilled that belief in me. And so to hear that is powerful, you know, for people to be able to, and you are like myself, that I came from a broken home where my parents divorced. And so, by the way, guys, my parents divorced when I was 5. Mayor Kex did as well at 5. He spells Allen the same way that I spell Allen, which is my middle name. And then I heard from the grapevine that one of his favorite songs is Return to the Mac by Martin Morrison. I don't know if that's true or not, but so I knew when we met, I was like, man, this is crazy. Like, we're going to be friends for life.
Absolutely. There's no doubt about it.
I heard that Toy Story jingle in my mind, you know, you got a friend in me. And so either way, I really appreciate that you being able to pay homage to your parents in such a manner. And I know that they're unbelievably proud of you because of what you're doing and how you're loving, serving, caring for the people around you. So thank you so much for sharing that. In addition to that, because I know not everyone's lucky enough to come from a home, even though your parents were divorced, not everyone still can say that they had 2 parents who loved them, you know, dearly. A lot of people in this generation are being raised by their grandparents, and that poses a lot of challenges. A lot of people in the foster care system, a lot of people. So all that to be said, one of my final questions here is, as you look out that window behind you and you see downtown Somerset, what will you hope people say about you? You know, you're leading in a time of crisis, adversity, a global pandemic. Never in your wildest imagination did you say, I want to run for mayor of Somerset and be the mayor of my hometown. And I'm pretty sure there might be a pandemic when that happens. No one ever would think that. And so all that's taking place right now, all that you want to accomplish, as you look out that window behind you, what would you want the people of Somerset to be able to say when maybe your tenure comes to an end as mayor?
That's a good question. And I think one that's worthy of contemplation and a lot of thought. You know, the first thing that comes to mind is that I put people first, that I genuinely cared about the people that elected me and that I serve. The second thing is, and I hope this will be in a form that would encourage and inspire others, is that, you know, we created vision. We thought with a long-term mission and vision in mind, and we accomplished a lot of that. You know, one signature project is Horse Soldier Bourbon. You know, we laid out that vision before I ever took the oath, and we actually put in the work. You know, I get elected in November, and I'll be telling this story as that project unfolds. But, you know, get elected in November, start to serve in January. Well, in December, you know, we film a pitch video because we knew what we wanted to do. And so, you know, a couple closing thoughts, and I'll let you wrap us up. First of all, as a man thinketh, so is he, right? And so that mindset that you talk a lot about, I think, is important. We always want to give God credit and give him glory, but he gave us this mind. He created the universe in a way that, you know, those thoughts do carry meaning and power. And the second thing is, you know, find a vision and something in life that's bigger than yourself, whether that's service in your church, service at a local school, public service, business, whatever it is. That way, you know, the work that you have and that you execute will live far beyond your own physical life and hopefully bless people along the way. And so, you know, it's an honor to serve. It's an honor to lead my hometown. And it's an honor and a privilege to get to spend a few minutes with you, brother.
Yes, sir. And we can't close down without people understanding what the spirit of Southern Kentucky really means. So tell us a little bit about that and what that vision really means.
Well, you know, there's so many layers to the spirit of Southern Kentucky. You know, first thing is we want, again, you know, our spiritual health to shine bright. We want to be that city on the hill that's proud of the work that we're doing. We want to be collaborative and bring people together. You know, in a time in our nation, I think it's needed more than anything is leaders who understand and will listen to all voices. And, you know, the spirit of Southern Kentucky, we want everybody to feel and actually be welcome. But again, we want to showcase Kentucky's best. We think that Somerset touches a component of everything that makes Kentucky special. One of the only, if not the only city that can stake claim to, you know, most of what makes the bluegrass what I think is the best state in America. And so we hope that when folks come to Somerset, it looks and feels a little bit different. And, you know, that spirit of Southern Kentucky will shine bright.
Well, although we've had many setbacks here locally and throughout the Commonwealth and throughout the nation, we have grown in spite of those setbacks. And I credit that to you and your hardworking team and people embracing this vision of making Somerset, Kentucky, a place that people should want to come to, right? And whenever they come here, they find themselves in a position where they say, you know what, I like these people. I like me best when I'm with these people. When can I come see them again? That's what we want to create here in Somerset. But I thank you so much for modeling, you know, these things as we close. You model leading yourself first. I've seen that personally as a friend and from afar. You truly do believe that the obstacle is the way, and you've leaned into that. You even mentioned that earlier. You truly do believe in what it means to exercise and implement a growth mindset in all areas of your life. And then also, I've seen firsthand, leading through a crisis, you be the kind of person that just believes that sometimes people need to be reminded of who they are more than what they need to be reminded of what they should do. Because when people know who they are, it helps them understand what they can and should do and what they are empowered to do. So all that to be said, thank you so much, Mayor Keck, for your time. It's been an absolute pleasure. And guys, listen, you can find anything and everything about Somerset, Pulaski County, Kentucky by searching the hashtag SeeMySet on all socials. Right? On all socials, because we're creating a movement with that hashtag.
That's right.
But all that to be said, thank you so much for your time. Remember, don't just go through life, grow through life. And as always, everybody can encourage somebody. We love you guys. God bless you all. And feel free to share this podcast, this episode, with a friend or family member, and we will catch you on the next one. See you guys.
Thank you, bro.
Hey, thanks again for listening in. If you enjoyed this episode and you received some value, could you do me a favor and share it with a friend? If so, I really, really, really appreciate you helping me get the word out about this podcast. As a reminder, this is your place for a shot of encouragement, and my goal is to simply leave you better than I found you. So my friend, I certainly hope that was the case for you today.